It's Midnight GMT. Hello, I'm Rahul Tandon, and this is Business Matters here on the BBC World Service. Today we're live in China and the United States as the US looks like they've signed a trade deal with Indonesia. We'll get the latest from our correspondent. And the French Prime Minister, well, he says it's time for the country to tackle its debt problems.
We always talk about over-indebtedness and how countries can go under when this happens. Well, it's getting nearer the stage where that's going to happen.
But is cutting the number of public holidays the answer? And why does it matter if the world's most valuable company, the chip maker Nvidia, can sell a certain type of chip to China again?
It'd be a big deal because if China can get access to these chips at the scale it wants, hundreds of thousands, it would provide a real boost to China's AI ecosystem.
That's Business Matters. First, though, the latest BBC News.
Hello, I'm David Harper with the BBC News. An Afghan man who worked alongside British forces fighting the Taliban has told the BBC he feels deceived by the British government following an accidental data leak revealing his personal details. He's among almost 20,000 Afghans whose names and other details, including their locations, were leaked in a major data breach 3 years ago. They had applied to move to Britain after the Taliban seized power in Afghanistan. The man is now worried the Taliban could identify and find him. Speaking in Parliament, the Defence Minister John Healey apologised to those affected.
This serious data incident should never have happened. It may have occurred 3 years ago under the previous government, but to all those whose information was compromised, I offer a sincere apology today on behalf of the British government.
Donald Trump has said Ukraine should not attack Moscow after a newspaper said he'd discussed the possibility during a phone call with President Zelensky. More details from our North America correspondent, Peter Bowes.
Donald Trump, according to the Financial Times, privately encouraged Ukraine to step up its strikes on Russia deep inside the country. The US president is said to have asked Volodymyr Zelensky whether he could hit Moscow if the US provided long-range weapons. The newspaper, citing two people familiar with the conversation, said Mr. Trump spoke to his Ukrainian counterpart on the 4th of July, a day after a call with President Putin. But speaking outside the White House, the US president dismissed the idea, saying he had no plans to give Ukraine long-range missiles.
President Trump's former national security adviser, Mike Waltz, has denied that any classified information was shared when he inadvertently added a journalist to a group chat in which American officials discussed attacks on Yemen. Mr. Waltz was speaking at a Senate confirmation hearing to be US ambassador to the United Nations. Our State Department correspondent Tom Bateman was listening.
Democrats on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee repeatedly pressed him on whether he regarded the sharing of war plans on the group, to which he had inadvertently added a journalist, as a leak of classified information. He rejected this, saying that his use of the Signal app was not only permitted, but recommended under official guidelines to government officials circulated under the Biden administration. The Democratic Senator Cory Booker then excoriated Mr. Waltz, accusing him of profound cowardice, failing to take responsibility for his mistake and instead demeaning the journalist who published the story.
Donald Trump has said it's up to his Attorney General, Pam Bondi, to release any more records related to the convicted paedophile Jeffrey Epstein. Mr. Trump told reporters whatever Ms. Bondi thought was credible should be released. Last week, the Justice Department and FBI said there is no evidence Epstein kept a client list or was blackmailing powerful figures. Ms. Bondi has previously said the list was sitting on her desk. BBC News. Bradley Murdoch, the Australian man convicted of murdering British backpacker Peter Falconio in 2001, has died from cancer. He was 67. Murdoch was serving a life sentence in Alice Springs and had been moved from prison to a hospital for treatment weeks before his death. He was convicted of shooting dead Mr. Falconio on a remote highway in the Northern Territory. Cuba's president Miguel Díaz-Canel has rejected comments made by his Labour minister, who denied the existence of beggars or homeless people in the country. On Monday, the government announced that Cuba's economy had shrunk for a second consecutive year. Leonardo Rocha reports.
In a rare display of dissent within Cuba's communist government, President Díaz-Canel said the current economic crisis had indeed exacerbated social problems. He added that the vulnerable should not be treated as enemies. The Labour Minister, Marta Feito, had told a congressional hearing on Monday that those asking for money in the streets of Havana and other cities were in fact beggars in disguise, looking for money to get drunk. Mr. Díaz-Canel said he didn't agree with the commission's conclusions. Official figures say the Cuban economy has shrunk by 11% in the past 5 years.
South Africa's President Cyril Ramaphosa has appointed a temporary minister of police after the incumbent was suspended for alleged links to organised crime groups. The Minister of Mineral Resources, Gwede Mtashe, will hold the police portfolio for 2 weeks as part of a transitional arrangement. The substantive police minister, Senzo Mtunu, was suspended last week. Environmental groups have filed a lawsuit challenging a US loan of almost $5 billion for a huge gas project in northern Mozambique. The Washington-based Export-Import Bank approved the funds in March to a consortium led by Total Energies. Friends of the Earth and a local pressure group argue that the bank's new board of directors was illegally appointed by Donald Trump. BBC News.